days where the Bible study that we had for this morning's study is about the same thing that we're going to talk about in today's message. That doesn't mean those of you who are here can sleep, though. Bill? Just kidding. I've titled this morning's message, Does God Love You? My inspiration for this is we had a visitor this week from the Gideons. If you don't already know, there's a group of people called the Gideons, and they go around putting Bibles in schools and hotels and wherever. And they've been trying to promote us to support their group for a long time. I can't remember exactly when, but there was some of you who've been around for a while know that we used to support that group. And we found out there were some things in the back of the Bibles that they were putting in there encouraging free willism. And some years back, Pastor Gene finally came to the conclusion that we could no longer support them. And the men of the church agreed at that time. And as this man who has been trying to finally met up with me, we were on the front porch out here talking, and I just had to be honest with him. I just flat out told him point blank, we don't have the same gospel as you folks do.
What?
What do you mean? You don't have the same. Isn't this a Christ-centered church? Well, absolutely. Well, we're Christ-centered people. Not the Christ of Scriptures. What do you mean by that? Well, we sat down and talked for a bit, and this man just could not wait to start telling me his devotional. His devotional was this. A gentleman, young man, had come to his home to install some solar panels, and just as he was getting ready to leave, he finally blurted out, Jesus loves you! And the guy stopped. And he came back and he says, what do you mean by that? And he went on to tell me that. Now, I quickly inserted this question to him. How do you know? He goes, what do you mean, how do I know? It says so in the Bible. John 3:16, I said, really? I said, what about Malachi 1? What's that? So it says there, Jesus loved Jacob, but he hated Esau. Oh, no, we don't talk about hate. That's a wrong word. We cannot use that word. We only talk about God's love. And I went about from that moment asking him questions. Well, what about Romans 9? Where it talks about the potter. Where it talks about two children who were in their mother's womb. That God had decided one and not the other before they were even able to commit good or evil. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand not of works, but of him that calleth. And of course, you're familiar with Scripture at that point. It goes on and it talks about how Pharaoh was raised up. And I asked him, I said, do you not believe that part of God's Word? Is John 3:16 the only part that you believe? Well, I must be honest with you. I believe I left the man sincerely confused. His wife was waiting in the car, so he couldn't stay much longer than that. So I simply asked him, I said, you know, brother, if you don't want to believe what I'm saying, what I'm reading to you, the scriptures, I brought the Bible out, we looked at Romans chapter 9. I said, if you don't want to believe what I'm telling you, that the Word of God says right here, showing you, go ask your pastor about it. And he left thoroughly confused. He just had no idea that these things were even in Scripture, as far as I could tell. But I got to thinking about that. We don't talk about hate. Do you understand? Do you understand how much God hates sin? Can we comprehend the depth of hatred God has for sin? Sin has condemned the whole human race, other than those who the Lord Jesus laid down His life for. And that's just a remnant. The path to destruction is wide. Because a whole lot of people are going to go through that path of destruction and spend an eternity in hell. The very path that each and every one here today has been on at one time or another. Or at least that was the path that we see now we were on. God Almighty perfectly hates sin as much as He perfectly loves His children. We talk about how our Lord will lose nothing because He's God who can turn His hand. I hope to answer this question, does God love me? But not with thoughts from John. I hope to answer it through Scripture. And if the Lord is pleased, I pray He will answer it for you as well. Turn to the 45th chapter of Isaiah, if you would, please. Now, before I join you there, allow me to read from Luke chapter 10, where our Lord speaking says, "All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." No man who's ever walked this earth other than Christ Jesus Himself can know who the Lord Jesus Christ is or who the Father is unless the Son reveal Him. That's what it says there in Luke chapter 10:22. So that we see in this that the true Son of the living God must be revealed. Natural man cannot perceive the truths of Christ. Our Lord walked this earth in broad daylight, claiming Himself God in the flesh, proving it by the wondrous works that He did, yet most could not see the truth that it was Him. Do not Scriptures tell us in Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." You recall the question was, "Who do you say that I am? Who do the disciples say that I am?" And Simon Barjona stepped up and he said, "Why, thou art the Son of the living God." "Blessed art thou," he said to Simon Barjona, "for flesh and blood." Just so we don't confuse that, "for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Scriptures also tell us this in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 7, "Because the carnal mind, the natural mind, the very mind that we all come into this world with, is enmity against God." Now that word enmity, that's as bad as the word hate, used back in Malachi. There is a disdain. We come into this world with a disdain for our Lord God Almighty, the Creator. We will not have that man rule over us. "For it is not subject," it said, goes on to say, "to the law of God, neither indeed can be." So we see this dead in trespasses and sin statement is us in our natural state. For one to know the true and living God, God must first give life to that individual. That's exactly what he did for Lazarus. Lazarus came forth, didn't he? But he was dead. A picture of all of us spiritually. And the Lord gave him life to hear the powerful call, Lazarus, come forth. Let me ask you this. Does God love those who will die in their sins and go to eternal damnation? That's what this man was saying. That's what the world says about the Lord Jesus Christ, that God loves everybody. And you and I both know that that's not according to scriptures, is it? They've taken the phrase, for God so loved the world, and they've made it universal to all of mankind who will ever walk this world, but they don't want to look at that very point that comes up next that says that whosoever. Who are the whosoever? Those that must be born again. Does God love those whom will die in their sins and go to eternal damnation, not the true and living God? For the God of Holy Scripture cannot be foiled. He cannot be thwarted. He cannot be turned. In Isaiah, you don't need to turn here, but in verse chapter 14, verse 24, we read it this way. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That's the God of Scriptures right there. One who is sovereign over everything. I told him we're a sovereign grace church. He goes, what does that mean? It means that our God is God. The God we worship is the God of all creation. He who is not spoiled, his purpose is not spoiled, it shall stand. Again, in the same chapter, verse chapter 14 and verse 27, we read it this way, for the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? If God has purposed to save you, can you turn him from his purpose? It says then, and his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Consider these words in Isaiah chapter 45. Read with me verses 5 and 7 if you would, please. 5 through 7. I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light, and I create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, I want to state something about that word evil that we just read there. That's talking about the storms. It's talking about all the things that you might say are evil as far as the evilness of infection that our dear sister has in her body right now. The evilness of cancer that spreads through our body. Our Lord is not the author of sin. Man is the author of sin. An old preacher once said this, and I can't remember who it is. I know Pastor Gene said it several times. He says, if you go to hell, that was your responsibility. If you go to heaven, it's because of Christ. Because of Christ alone. I may not have said it exactly like he did, but you got the point. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now let us consider three points that can only be revealed to the heart by God. And He only reveals these truths to those whom He loves. If you're taking notes, we'll talk about the life He lived, the life He gave, and the life He gives. Our first point is plainly put in the book of Acts, the book of Acts of the Apostles. Turn, if you would, over to the Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We looked at this in Bible study. We've been studying the path that the Apostle Peter is on in our Sunday morning Bible class. And we read here in verses 36 through 41 of the book of Acts, chapter 10. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. The word of God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, from the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we were witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Now, I don't want to go into a great detail in what we just read there. We did that in Bible study this morning. But the life of God in the flesh was not what natural man would think. In fact, it's just the opposite. God in the flesh, the God-man, came as a servant. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Did you know that our Lord was not a comely man? He wasn't some handsome guy, you pick any one of your favorite stars. John Wayne. John Wayne's a pretty good looking man for a man. He's a man's man. Our Lord was not a comely man. In fact, people would not have sought him for his looks. I was thinking about this the other day. I was talking with Pastor Gene about it. Think about this for a minute. Here we're talking about the creator of everything that is. The very one who said, let it be, or thought, let it be. And it was. The very one who makes the dust float exactly where it should, when it should. The very one who created every single snowflake. Walk this earth in plain clothes. He was a carpenter. He was a man from Bethlehem. Nothing good ever came out of Bethlehem, right? Our Lord did. You would think he would have the grandeur of all the clothes. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's the Pope who sits over there in Rome. No. The one with true power came as a servant. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you about, does God love you? Our Creator got down on His knees and washed the feet of His disciples. Do you know that He does that for us? He does that for us as we walk through this world. Our feet get all dirty and dusty. And our Lord gets down on His knees for us and washes us. In Philippians 2, verse 8, we read this, and being found In the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. This very one that we just read about, this very one that we read these words, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside thee. This is the very one who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Does God love you? Our Lord came to do his Father's will, that purpose, that desire was to lose none. Isn't that what we read in John chapter 6 verse 39? And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. Does God love everybody who goes through that door marked death and go on? Some go on to be in hell and damnation. Does God love everybody? No. I point this out because we are so blessed that God would love us. Do we not have much to praise our Savior for? That because of His love, He gave Himself for us? The Creator of everything laid down His life, went to the cross willingly? We're talking about a holy Creator, walking this earth perfectly, walking in perfection, the perfection that He is. Holy, righteous, fulfilling every aspect, every jot. Every I has been dotted, every T has been crossed of His holy law in Him perfectly. And this He did for those whom He loves. It says that Christ came to save sinners. I've heard this before. Yes, I'm a sinner. Absolutely. You'll never see anything better than that standing in this pulpit. But I'm God's sinner. Amen. I belong to Him. His chosen people always have been His. The people of God, all of those from every kindred, every tongue, every tribe, throughout all of what God would call, or what you and I would call time, have been loved by our Savior before the world began. That's what it says in Ephesians 1. Predestinated. All this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which He had given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. I belong to Him. He has a people spread throughout all time, throughout all the world. And God the Spirit is going about calling them unto Himself at the time of His love. Aren't you thankful there was a time of His love for you? Do we not praise our Lord and Savior because there was a time of love for us when He came to us, when we did not know Him, when we didn't want to know Him, and He brought us to our knees, that we sought Him? The life our Lord lived was a life of love for you and I, for His people. He didn't have to come here. He's the Creator of everything. He could have done it somewhere differently, but this is what God did. He created man and gave them a free will, and that man who had the free will took it and used it the way he was meant to use it, and that was to go against God. And we've all done the same thing since. And because He loved us from before the world was, He manifests Himself in the flesh. Great is the mystery of God. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, let's consider the life He gave. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. And before I join you there, allow me to say from Mark 8, chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "And he," speaking of our Lord, "began to teach them," his disciples, his apostles, "that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed." And after 3 days, rise again. The death and the resurrection of our great God was a necessary thing. Our Lord, our God, the creator of all that is, cannot look upon sin, for he is a holy God. Holiness and sin can no longer be in the same, just as grace and works can no longer mix, cannot mix. The Bible is clear that these cannot mix. It's like darkness and light. You can't mix those either. When the light comes on, darkness goes away, does it not? Grace is unmerited favor. You can't earn it with works, is it not? God is holy, and we are but sin. The sheep of God have all gone astray in our own way and followed the same path to destruction as all of mankind has. Yet God was manifest in the flesh to save his sheep, and he accomplished this salvation by shedding his own blood in their stead. He set himself to be our spotless sacrifice, our scapegoat, our redeemer. When he went to the cross and he died, all of his elect died in him. The perfect, holy, righteous blood of Christ cleanseth his people from all their sin. When the Lord looks down upon us now, he sees the blood of his Son, just as the angel of death saw the blood on the doorpost of the Israelites while they were in Egypt. The angel of death would pass those by because he saw the blood, a picture of the blood of Christ. We are washed in his redeeming blood. Look with me, if you would, at verses 18 through 21 of 1 Peter chapter 1. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot." He who knew no sin was made sin for us. He was perfect, righteous in every way, that we might be made righteous in him. As the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. The life he gave was to die in our stead, to receive our damnation, to redeem us unto the Father, to pay the price that we had earned. And it was accomplished, that very thing. Turn now, if you will, over to the 10th chapter of John. And let's consider my last point, the life he gives. Once again, I ask for you to allow me to read some verses while you're turning over to John chapter 10. Colossians 1, verses 12 through 14, we read this: "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Folks, we are the children of light. The love of God dwells in our hearts. In Ephesians 5, verse 8, we read this, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The life He gives. Before, we used to walk around thinking, oh, wasn't I lucky? The new life that the Lord has given us now is, oh, praise the Lord for that blessing. Or, oh, praise the Lord for that lesson I had to learn. Or, praise the Lord for that trouble that He brought my way, because look at the glory that was given to Him in what happened. Walk as children of light. 1 John verse chapter 4 verse 9, we read this, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. The life He gives. The life He gives His people. I ask you again, does God love you? Has He manifested Himself to your heart? Has He revealed the truths of His Word to your spirit? Listen to these words very carefully in John chapter 3. We'll be to John chapter 10 in just a moment. These are familiar. This is the words that man, the Gideon man, quoted to me. How do you know God loved that man? Because it says in John 3:16. Really? Listen to the whole thing. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The life He gives to His people. Shine of who our Lord is. Sometimes our faith is small and we're not as boisterous or loud about claiming who our Lord is that we would like to be, but He's still our Lord in our hearts, because He dwells in our hearts. This is talking about those who believe the word of truth. This is the work of God. To believe the word of truth is His work. Not believe what man thinks, but believe what God says. That's what I did. I took that poor man to the word of God and showed him. Don't listen to what John says. Here it is in the book of Romans chapter 9. Right there, plain as can be. God loves a people for Himself. Aren't you thankful that He does? I am. The Word of God says in Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest man should boast. Look with me here in John chapter 10. Beginning at verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Lord says, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now look over at verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Does God love you? Did He lay down His life for you? We love Him because He first loved us. He's loved us from before the world ever was. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. I ask you again, does God love you? If God has given you the gift of faith, the gift to believe His Word, the revelation of who Christ is, God Almighty in the flesh, the Creator of everything that is, He who has all power in heaven and earth and in under the earth. If He has given you a revelation of what He has done, He laid down His life for us. If He has given you the revelation of where He is right now, He's sitting on His throne saying, "Don't touch that one. He's mine. I paid for him. She's mine. I paid for her. They'll spend eternity with me in heaven." That's what He says to all of His children, to those that He loves, to those that belong to Him, to them that He has loved from before the world was. "You shall spend an eternity with me. I paid for you," He says. If the Lord reveals His truths to those He loves. Listen to these words of truth. Luke chapter 9 verse 45. "But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not." I'm pausing because I want you to think about that. We're trying to understand a little bitty drop of the depth of God's love for His people. Does God love you? It says here that He hides things. "But they understood not the saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not." Again in Luke chapter 18 we read this, and they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. Now this is talking about the Lord's disciples, His apostles. They understood not. But it was still the Lord hiding it from them. He had just not revealed to them the truth of it yet. Colossians chapter 1 verse 26 we read this, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now manifest, made manifest to His saints." Or what about these words? The words of our Savior in Luke chapter 10 verse 21. "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in Thy sight." The Lord has mercy on whom He will have mercy. Do you believe that? Can you apply that to you? The Lord has mercy on whom He will have mercy. And whom He will, He hardeneth. Does the word of truth offend you? Not if God loves you. Does God love you? I thank my Lord for the word of truth showing me what I deserve and what He has taken for me. Showing me the darkness that I once walked in. But now I walk in the light. And that light is who the Lord Jesus Christ is. My Savior. What about yours? I ask you the last time. Does God love you? I can't answer that question for you. I haven't the slightest idea what is going on in your heart. And any man who says he can, run from him as fast as you can. It's a personal thing, salvation. Only you can answer that question. But I guarantee you, if he loves you, he'll bring joy to your heart in that love. Will you stand with